This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday night, October 19th, 2023. Coming at you live from the Pod Cave. This is the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network. You can find us on thechairshot.com, where we remind you and encourage you to always use your head. I'm going to go around the room here tonight like I always do and introduce this cast of characters that we have on the show. Starting first from the Rob the Genius podcast, the Minister of Truth, the Father of Facts and Figures, the Deacon of Data, the official shoot bear of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, and the man with the golden shovel, Mr. Rob, how are you, bud?
I'm doing fine, and I just hold up for the camera here, just fresh out of the mail.
What are we wearing here? What do we got on here?
We're representing
Diamond Mine. Or no, I'm sorry, Charlotte Flair. Diamonds are forever, Charlotte Flair, good for you.
14, hoping for 15 Friday.
Hope, we'll see what happens. And fresh off some vacation time, some much-earned vacation time, from the Purple Haze and Cloud 9, Bucky's tag team partner, a man destined to go through a barbershop window, Jason, how you doing, bud?
Doing well, how's everybody doing?
We are okay. Kind of a rough week this week. We were talking about that in the pre-show huddle here a little bit. Rob had a rough day at work. I had a rough day at work. Hard to believe it's only Thursday, and I'd say it's only Thursday because I feel like it should be like deep into Friday as long as this week has been. So you look rested, Jason. You had a nice getaway.
Yes. Me and the missus escaped to Southern California for the weekend and my birthday and all that. So we just, it was fun because we stayed with our friends Sarah and Don in their place, in their new house that they just bought. And we just did all the same stuff we would have done if we were just hanging out anywhere. We did certain things. There was a dog park / bar that I don't think you'll find many places in the country and things like that. But other than that, we were just hanging out. One night we just cooked dinner and we went to the grocery store, you know, rang up a huge bill, came home and grilled a bunch of stuff and made a bunch of food on their deck and had a great time. So it was exactly the rest and recharge I was looking for.
Yeah. You guys had a staycation just, I don't know, 2,400 miles from home.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And I am, as always, DJ, the man with the award-winning and holy beard. We have got a bit of a show lined up for you guys this week, but one thing we are not going to do. Last week, we went in hard on Tony Khan, and I had a personal meltdown on this show. And it went into a rant that I don't – kind of uncharacteristic for me. You know, I'm known to get up here, and I guess we all have our moments, but I guess just the – WWE fan in me that is exhausted with a lot of the rhetoric that's anti-WWE just finally had enough. And the Tuesday night bum fight from last week, the fallout from that, Tony Khan's Twitter meltdown and just everything surrounding that got in my head. Not something I enjoy doing, but it just was one of those things, coupled with my mood at the time. Not going to do that this week. We are going to have some fun. We are going to get back to what this podcast, what we enjoy doing, talking about the graphs. We are going to do a little bit of a watch along here tonight at the end of the show. If you stick around, we're going to do something really fun. We are heading just full speed ahead into Halloween, and we've got a special Halloween Havoc match pulled for this week, courtesy of the genius Rob. He picked this one out. Jason's another one Jason's never seen before. Looking forward to seeing Jason's reaction to this, not only the match, but the finish. I was telling the guys in the pre-show huddle, if it's the match, I think it is, Jason is going to lose his mind with the finish because it's absolutely incredible. Looking forward to that. We're also going to talk a little bit of, Rob had some breaking news in the middle of the podcast last week. It was announced Ronda Rousey retired not only from active MMA competition, but from the world of professional wrestling. We're going to kick that around a little bit tonight, and if my hunch serves me correctly, probably give Ronda her flowers. I think she's due, and you know, we'll talk about her WWE career and you know what we felt it meant and where we felt it could have gone. Also, the PWI Women's Top 250 was dropped, what, today, Rob?
Yesterday.
Yesterday, dropped yesterday, and Rob's got that list pulled up in front of him. We're going to kick that around a little bit. So without further ado, let's talk some Ronda Rousey. Ronda officially announcing last week that she was retiring from active MMA and active WWE or pro wrestling in general competition. And I think this is an interesting topic for discussion because Ronda Rousey has been rather polarizing, not only in the wrestling industry, but her WWE career. A lot of people feeling because of her name value and, you know, her notoriety that she was, you know, fast-tracked right to the front of the line. I say, of course she was, and she should have been. We can pick that apart a little bit more. But also polarizing in the fact that there were a lot of people that just really felt like she was never really very good. And, you know, stacked her up against, you know, people who had, you know, years, if not decades of time in the business, which I thought was rather unfair. But let's start off with Rob, since Rob broke the news. What are your thoughts just basically on Ronda Rousey's importance to not only WWE's business, but the wrestling industry in general?
Okay. So, I mean, the short answer is, I never give a short answer.
I was about to say, you got a short answer?
No, I don't. I'll just say everything from the past probably 8 to 10 years, every advancement that's happened in women's wrestling, particularly in WWE, you can reverse engineer to her deciding to do it. Okay. She first showed up at WrestleMania 31 in 2015. She had a segment with The Rock and Stephanie and Triple H. That's, of course, that went, which of course meant that they were trying to get her on board then. Okay. She finally did come on board 3 years later, 2018. And you know, your WrestleMania, first women's WrestleMania main event happened because of her. Okay. And the building up of the women's division, they spent 3 years building up the women's division so that there would be something worth her trouble when she finally came on. Okay. And I know that might be a tough pill to swallow for a lot of people. All right. The whole women's revolution and all of that stuff, that was not because it wasn't, they didn't magically become enlightened, you know, 10 years ago and say, oh, we should really do more with women's wrestling. That's not what happened, folks. Okay. Ronda has been a wrestling fan since she was a kid. And so Ronda is responsible for women in UFC making any money right now. You know, she was the first one to get any type of big cable buys or anything for her fights in UFC. So, I mean, whatever kind of money women are making in UFC today is better because of her. And the Vince McMahon and whoever else in WWE saw how she was drawing money in UFC and that she was a wrestling fan, and they figured, you know, we can make some money off of her here. because there's a history of MMA people doing pro wrestling. Ken Shamrock, Dan Severn, you know, Tank Abbott did it for a while. I mean, and you know, there are other guys, and they're people who dabbled in it a little bit, and then went on over to pro wrestling. And then, of course, then there are people who went the other way. Bobby Lashley went to Bellator after his first stint in WWE.
Dave Bautista did a brief stint in MMA.
Yes. Yeah, he had a few fights also, yes. So, you know, there's history of crossover. There are people who have gone both ways. And there was money to be made with her doing it. And at that point, she was the biggest star in UFC. So, and the fact that she was a wrestling fan and wanted to try pro wrestling, they saw there was money to be made off from doing it. And so they set the table so that, because, I mean, you can't just have her come in there and just beat up a bunch of jabronis for a year, right? There had to be people for her to fight that was worth watching her fight in the wrestling ring. And so all of this women's revolution and all of this stuff, it is all reverse. It is all reverse engineered to her. Okay. And look, as much as we love some of these women wrestlers, this women's, you know, no, they would not have done all of that just for the four horsewomen. Okay, guys, they wouldn't have. Hey, I've said this on Twitter, like we would have gotten a better version of what was going on with like AJ and Nikki Bella and Paige at the time in like 2014. We would have got a better version of that with the horsewomen.
Yeah.
They would have got some longer match times. Maybe they would have got some more TV main. They might have got some TV main events. They would have got some more time on pay-per-view to have matches. And that's about as far as it would have gone. Okay? They were not going to main event no pay-per-views. They were damn sure weren't going to main event no WrestleMania. Okay? And so that all happened because of Ronda Rousey. They love her, hate her, whatever you think of her. All of this has happened because of her, okay? And, you know, and so you need to, she deserves every bit of thanks you can possibly give for that, okay? She brought more attention on to women's wrestling by being there in WWE, particularly in her first run there. We got an all women's pay-per-view. Why? Because they had Ronda Rousey to put in the main event against Nikki Bella. Okay. There would have been no Evolution pay-per-view with Becky versus Charlotte in the main event. That was not going to happen.
Okay. It's worth noting that it hasn't happened since.
Right. You beat me to it, Jason.
Oh, well, that too. And I can all end. So all of this stuff that has happened, it was in the last 10 years, in WWE, particularly women's wrestling, you can attribute in some form or fashion to them getting Ronda Rousey to come wrestle for them.
Right.
Nope. And you can dispute it all you want, and you're wrong if you do.
Well, one thing I want to make clear, and because I don't want anybody to misunderstand what you're saying, this is not meant to trivialize the efforts of Sasha, Bayley, Charlotte, Becky, you know, eventually Bianca, but because those girls have really, you know, they were given the opportunity, and this is what I always say about when you bring in these big names or these celebrities or things like that, it's that you bring them in so that the eyes watch the product. It's the job of the other talent to elevate themselves so that people stay on board. And a lot of the women in WWE who directly interacted with Ronda did that. You know, they all were amazing to begin with, but then they took that stage, that notoriety of, hey, I'm working with Ronda Rousey, and they elevated themselves to the next level. And now women's wrestling is where it deserves to be because of the effort of the women that are still doing it, the women that are doing it full time, and the women that continue to do it, and the ones that will come after them. Yes, I don't want anything that Rob's saying to be misunderstood as the only reason they're doing it, and that the only reason any of these girls are notable is because of Ronda Rousey. She's a big factor, but they then did what they're supposed to do. They took that ball, they ran with it, And now in WWE, women's wrestling is much more undeniable than it was prior to Ronda Rousey.
I absolutely believe that Ronda Rousey was an accelerant to any plans that they had for a long-term women's division, because Ronda Rousey chews through the Divas division in a summer.
Yeah.
Like you don't get any fun out of that. Like, you know, whatever. And obviously they had the Four Horsewomen and others and people in NXT. I find it kind of hard to believe they were, you know, some of them were, I mean, obviously Becky and, you know, some were career wrestlers. I think this women's revolution was always the plan, because it's also great PR. But no question, they were like, okay, if we're going to get Ronda on board, we got to start now. Well, so I think, yeah, and just to tie a bow with that and my thoughts on Ronda, I will just say for her run, I had a great time. Her first run was incredible. I enjoyed her match style. I enjoyed all of it. Some bumps in the road, certainly, on her second run here. And certainly anytime she tried to play heel along both ways. That one's got grading fast. But overall, yeah, she was a great time. And, you know, as Rob highlighted, you know, I don't believe as firmly that she's like the, and I don't think Rob does either, that she's the root cause. But like I said, a massive accelerant. Yeah. Because she said also just because they probably looked over there, saw the women's division, you know, of UFC growing, you know, and they're like, okay, well, even back then they were like, we're kind of cousins. So, you know, if they, as they go, we go.
Right.
I guess I'm so adamant about it. Just because, like, there was, like, in the early 2000s or like mid 2000s, they did have a good women's division with Trish and Mickey and all of them, and Victoria and all of them. They had a good women's division.
Oh, absolutely.
And then they immediately, by the time the 2010s rolled around, they, of their own doing, shoved it back into the Stone Age.
Right.
So, I just do not, you know.
I think the 21st, I think the sensibilities of today finally catch up with them. Whether we have main evented, I don't think we've main evented WrestleMania, maybe a pay-per-view or two. But without, yeah, no, Ronda was an absolute accelerant. Just, she made it happen, guys. Sorry.
And, yeah, and it just, and so, for me, look, I enjoyed watching when they had her in the right lane. Look, to me, she was as much fun to watch as anybody. And now we've been through this before. Like, you know, what worked for her was for her to walk out there, the music plays, she walked out there and she beats up the bad guys.
Yep.
That is the thing that always worked for her.
That is why I bought the ticket.
Yes.
That's what I'm here to say. Like, literally every time I went to see Ronda Rousey, I was like, yep, can't wait to see who she kicks the shit out of.
And so, you know, when they got away from that, that's where things went sideways. I've gotten mad at people on the internet for a bunch of times because of that, because a lot of people on Twitter just demanding, well, you need to turn her heel. And it's like, you people are the only one. Well, y'all don't even want to see it, because y'all, as soon as they did it, y'all crapped on it. So y'all didn't want to see it either.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody really wanted to see that. And
she just, her, both of her runs, even now, I will argue that her first run was much better than her second run.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that's not even like the ring work itself. That's just the booking. You know, I think what she wanted out of it on her second run was a little unrealistic. Her first run, they did everything right. She should be dominant. She should be at the top of the card. She should be a women's, you know, world champion. All of these things, given when you look at Ronda Rousey, who she is, what she stands for, those things should happen. Her second run, they tried to present her as just one of the girls. And you just, You can't do that. Not with her. And I mean, if that's what she wanted, you know, that's, you know, shame on her for not having the foresight.
Imagine suddenly this next time Brock comes back and he's just in like black trunks, dicking around in the locker, not even dicking around in like a fun way. Like, all right, Ray, I'll see you out there. You have a great match, buddy. And then like he goes out and just has a 50-50 match with somebody. And then we go home. And there's no payoff. You're waiting every single week for a payoff. Like, oh, this is the week Brock goes crazy. And there's no payoff. Just 50-50, you know, not certain. And there are, you know, moments of monstrosity and moments where you're the killer again. And then you're just and he's just one of the dudes. No Cowboy Brock, no Beast, just one of the dudes. Tell me how quick you get sick of that.
Very quickly. I think for on the second run, the biggest for me, then I know this will probably trigger Rob. The highlight for me was Ronda Rousey doing business with Liv Morgan. I think that whole feud elevated Liv. Now, do I think Liv is on the same level as Charlotte, Becky, and company? Absolutely not. But it definitely elevated Liv from just another mid-card girl to a upper level mid-card girl who can occasionally float in and, you know, pull a big match out of her if she needs to. And you can directly thank Ronda for that. Like, I really thought Ronda's work in that feud was incredible. Because on paper, Ronda Rousey should beat the brakes off of Liv Morgan. Like, she should absolutely beat the brakes off of her. And, you know, probably some people will believe that maybe that's where the things started to fall apart with her, is when, you know, Liv Morgan's out here having a 50-50 match with her and gets over on her 2 out of 3 times. Okay, what are we doing? There may be people that ask that. And that's a solid argument that I'll listen to. But when I just strip away all of that and look at what's presented on my TV, the feud with her and Liv Morgan was really good. And there he is. There he is. Oh, my God.
Sorry. I forgot. Rob watches wrestling for serious fighting between men. He doesn't have time for women's wrestling.
That's right.
And certainly no, like, you know, downtrodden baby face of aw shucks beating the mean old heel. No, we don't have time for that. We just need to have two dudes in black trunks with graps for 20 minutes. Right, Rob?
Hashtag Rob hates women's wrestling.
Listen, okay. I will agree that actually Liv Morgan did benefit from that.
Yes.
But why on, if you are the wrestling booker, why would you give a shit about that if you have Ronda Rousey?
Something different. You gotta right give now, her flowers,
hey,
man.
You know why? Because now you don't have Ronda Rousey. You still have Liv Morgan. And when she's on my TV, I think of her in a different way.
Okay.
I'm like, I just look at her. I'm just like, Liv Morgan's one of those people who could just anytime we could break out and she could be in a, certainly a championship picture. But, you know.
I mean, after that feud was over, she went back to getting beat down by Raquel Rodriguez.
No, that segued. I loved hardcore Liv Morgan. Segway,
yeah. Yeah,
extreme Liv Morgan was fun.
Yeah,
we got the thumbs down from Rob.
X with an extra, like extreme with the letter X. Liv Morgan was awesome.
Oh gosh, Rob hates fun too. If you guys are new here, Rob hates fun.
Black trunks and you know, chain wrestling.
And again,
in an empty arena.
I do not hate Liv Morgan. Everybody, okay, it's just. You would not
Who doesn't hate Liv Morgan, you've had to say, I don't hate Liv Morgan an awful lot.
Well, I don't.
He's defending himself an awful lot on this stance for a stance that he doesn't actually have.
Right.
Would you sacrifice Brock Lesnar to have good matches, to have competitive matches with R-Truth? Would you do that?
I think I'd be hilarious.
False equivalency, and you know it.
Okay, I'm sorry.
From point on the roster to.
Okay.
You don't have that many people in the women's division. Like, even at that, especially at that time, like, as compared to the men. Like, okay, of guys you can just pick out and say, okay, we need to elevate one or two of you guys.
Okay, so Brock Lesnar wrestled Finn Balor at one of the Royal Rumble cards. That match went 8 minutes, and Brock tapped him out with a Kimura lock.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and Finn Balor, Universal Champion Finn Balor, went eight minutes and got tapped out by Brock Lesnar. And yeah, okay, he got a few licks in, but you know, you wouldn't. They didn't have Finn Balor take Brock Lesnar all the way to the limit, now, did they?
I believe it because of the way they presented Finn Balor. That's another one that's like, I don't know. I don't know if I'd even. Nah.
That's I've run too long on Liv Morgan here. I like Liv, but let's get back to Ronda.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly. You brought it up, pal.
Ronda. You're right.
In all seriousness, happy retirement, Ronda, because like she did everything she was supposed to do, and it got a little goofy there at the end. Whatever. But hey, man, as long as she was in there with a competent to, you know, quarterback worthy dance partner, she was fun.
Yeah. So, I have to wonder, I feel like her last run in WWE got cut short. I really feel like we knew the feud with Shayna was coming, but all of a sudden out of the blue, it just happened. And it happened on like a random, like, premium live event. When did they have their match? Was it SummerSlam?
It was SummerSlam, yeah.
It was SummerSlam, which shouldn't, you know, isn't like a small event. It's one of the big four. But still, it just kind of happened, and it was just kind of there. And, there was reports that she wasn't happy with, you know, the way things were going and the direction she took. You got to wonder where, if taking all of that with an extremely full pile of salt, not even a grain, but like a full pile of salt. If that was the case, if she just wasn't happy with the trajectory, with the way things were going, and I go back to what I said a few minutes ago, like what did she expect? Like WWE has a business model. They have a plan for its talent. And obviously Ronda Rousey factors in a bit differently to them than just one of the girls. And it's like we said about Daniel Bryan. I think Rob made the point last week, AEW, Bryan Danielson now, is indulging him and letting him do pretty much whatever he wants when they should have put the world championship on him. And yeah. I guess depending on what your tastes are, it's just not working. Like, yeah, he's going out here and he's having incredible matches and he's probably having a shitload of fun. Like, he probably genuinely is having the time of his life, but is it doing that company any good? And I think the answer to that might be polarizing. And I look at Ronda Rousey very much the same way. Ronda has a value to WWE. And if I'm looking at from a corporate standpoint, that value isn't, I'm just one of the girls. You know, I'm just out here having regular matches with the girls, you know. To me, that's not good business sense.
Yeah, and I get, look, that's my point of all. My point is not to dump on Liv Morgan, okay?
Right.
It's not, but it's just, You could swap anyone else in there. You could have, because remember, she had, after that, she had a few with Shotzi, and that did not go very well. Right. So, I mean, you could swap Tegan Nox or Nikki Cross or any of the, you know, those level women in. And, you know, I would have crapped on it all the same, okay? Because it's just, it's just, to me, you can't, because look, Ronda's not Bad Bunny. She's not Logan Paul, okay? Where, yes, you can have Logan Paul wrestle Ricochet on a pay-per-view and go, you know, 50-50. That's fine, right? You can have, you know, but, you know, and the part of it is because the second run, they had her wrestle, they had her on TV too much also.
Yes.
She was there like every week. She should not have been there every week. Being out there every week and having promo segments where, because again, and this is where I'm going to get on you people again, the woman has a speech impediment and y'all were out here shitting on her promos every week.
Oh yeah, so, absolutely disgusting.
Yeah. And she mentioned that during her first run, she talked about it, okay?
Yeah.
So, now maybe, you know, regular fans or whatever forgot, and that's fine, but these, you know, podcaster folks and these wrestling media folks, y'all knew better.
Yeah, those of us that are deep in the bubble knew better.
And those of y'all who reported on it previously knew better, okay? If you wrote about it the first time, you shouldn't be shitting on her now, the second time, okay?
Right.
And a lot of these folks were doing that. And look, I mean, for her to go out there and, you know, And no, her promo good? No, they weren't. Okay, but there's a reason for that. And the other thing is that when they did keep her in the proper lane, nobody cared.
Yeah.
When she came out there and she beat the dog shit out of Alexa Bliss, nobody gave a damn how well she could talk on the mic. When she beat up Stephanie, man, nobody gave a damn how well she could talk on the mic.
Hire her to talk.
Nobody cared. Okay.
Show me what moves you learned this week. Hit Piper's Pit, and we are out of here.
Yep.
When we look at Brock now with, you know, Cowboy Brock and all that, it took them, it took years for him to get comfortable enough to do that kind of thing. Like, I don't think he would have been doing that in 2012. Okay. I don't think it would have gone very well if he tried that in 2012.
No, definitely not.
Okay. So if she had a long tenure and maybe 4 or 5 years in, maybe she would have been more comfortable and maybe it would have been better. Okay. When she's talking on the mic, but that didn't happen. And, she deserved some grace from, again, those of you all who cover this stuff and who should know better. She deserved some grace from y'all. Okay. I understand, again, the people who just watch the TV show and don't get into all the backstory and everything. I understand if some of them heard her talking, was like, oh, this stinks. But those of y'all who knew about it, she deserved better from y'all, okay?
Right.
What you gave her.
The only thing I'll say about it is, I mean, right, wrong, indifferent, upside down, she didn't need to talk as much as she did.
No.
Like,
I tell you what.
She just didn't need to. Like, whether if she was mediocre to terrible at it, like,
but why bother? Having the courage to go out and try and do it, knowing that you might stink at it, or knowing that there's going to be people out there that are going to blast it apart, either in their podcasts or on their, app formerly known as Twitter accounts, or even on, God forbid, Facebook, which is an absolute cesspool for wrestling fans. I applaud her for having the courage to go out and do it. It's not easy. I've been in the ring. I've had to talk on the mic. It's uncomfortable as fuck. Okay? It's uncomfortable for those of us that can talk well.
Because I would shit my pants doing that.
The very first time I did damn near shit my pants. So for her to go out there and do that, kudos to her. I want to go real quick around the room with you guys, and then, we'll close this segment out. Jason, we'll start with you. Do you think we see her in a WWE ring again? Like, is she done, or do you think they get her back for another payday or three?
I think maybe down the road she does one more match kind of deal. Even if it is as big as a WrestleMania match, I think she's probably going to get, she'll get the hankering one more time, man.
Yeah. Rob, what do you think?
So, yeah.
I think maybe. It's you never say never in pro wrestling.
Right.
So, there's as much a chance of her coming back as there anybody else who we thought was gone. I will say that if she does not, she's going to Hall of Fame.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no doubt at all. I hope she comes back and does at least one more. Go home, be a mom. She doesn't need it. She doesn't, damn sure doesn't need the money. Right. She's got plenty of irons on the fire. Ronda Rousey could find anything in the world to do. But being someone who was a fan of her, found her very, entertaining. I hope to see it again. But if we don't, definitely Hall of Fame in the next, 5 years or so.
And to the people who are, crying and throwing up at the thought of Ronda Rousey in the WWE Hall of Fame, I'll tell you, the other two women who were involved in that historic main event are absolutely going in. So Ronda can squeak in on that qualification alone.
Absolutely. So,
and that you can just console yourself with that. Like, that's how she got in. Don't worry.
Yeah. All right, let's move on here. Let's talk some more women's wrestling. Rob has the PWI Women's Top 250 up here. We're going to kick that around a little bit. I don't think we have to go too deep into the woods, but Rob, I'll let you take over from here.
All right, well, because you know, I do hate women's wrestling and all, so.
Yes, but Rob, who hates women's wrestling, is the one who actually has the women's PWI top 250 in front of them.
Okay, they put 250 of them in the same magazine.
Rob, they found 250 women.
How'd they find 250 women that could even wrestle? Like,
rip the band-aid off, Rob. Who's number one?
Oh, number one is Rhea Ripley. And oh, now to just the rating period, so to speak, was from September of last year, September 16th of 2022, to September 30th of this year. That is the rating period. Okay.
Okay.
All right. And that's important.
And important to note again, this is written from a kayfabe perspective.
Yes. So.
Yes.
This is written. Yeah. This is written as if wrestling, which it is a serious sport, and that they are ranking these athletes based on their accomplishments and like their various levels of federation they work for.
Right. So remember. So number one is not. I forgot what Rhea Ripley's real name is, but. That woman is not number one. Rhea Ripley is number one. Okay.
What you're presented with on your TV is number one. And if you're sitting here debating that, you fundamentally do not understand what you're watching.
Yes.
Right. There's no secret code. There's no nothing.
Oh my God. Random guys. Girl from Winnipeg who you saw at an indie show and you thought she was awesome. Don't pull that out of your ass. It's absolutely Rhea Ripley this year.
No, it's actually like, it's almost like you're pretending that wrestling is a what? Television show?
Yeah.
Right.
Crazy. So, she's number one. Number two.
And I'm telling you, yeah, she's number one on the television shows.
Yes. So, yeah, I mean, there's no
argument.
You could, and also this is also a magazine selling thing. So, and in 2023, if you're going to put a woman on your wrestling magazine to sell magazines, that's who you're putting on there.
Absolutely.
Okay. And, you know, it varies from year to year. It differs from year to year. But in 2023, if you're selling, if you want to sell magazines with a woman wrestler on the cover, that is who you're putting on the cover. So, and in kayfabe, look, she did, you know, she checked all the boxes to be number one. It's not like, you know, she won pretty much every match she was in, except maybe, she won the women's title at WrestleMania. She's been champion for the marking grading period. She was champion for 4 months. She won the Royal Rumble. So, yeah, I mean, she did everything you're supposed to do to be number one over those 12 months. So
let's again just take the presentation at face value. Save for maybe Roman Reigns, is at least, and let's just stick primarily to WWE, but then we'll branch out from there. Is there anyone else on WWE television who understands their character more than Rhea Ripley? Aside from Roman Reigns. Because for me, hands down, she is the most intriguing and developed and fleshed out character on WWE programming. Like, she comes on TV and I am locked to it. And it's not just because I think she's smoking hot. There is an aura. There is a presence about her and her little nuances in the ring, her facial expressions, when she sells, when she's the aggressor, all the little things that she does, she absolutely understands every single cog in the machine that is Rhea Ripley. And I dig the crap out of that, and I'm hard-pressed to find anybody on WWE programming. And I would argue to say elsewhere on at least American wrestling programming that is fleshed out and is as nuanced as Rhea Ripley in presentation.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, from a creative standpoint, like you said, they've nailed her character better this year than any other woman on that roster. And it's been kind of a struggle with as far as how they've been presenting, like, most of the rest of the roster. But she's the one that they've absolutely nailed, as far as presentation and all of that stuff. And of course, she's doing her part. It's not like they're not just, it's not just what they're writing for her to do. right?
Yeah, because if she weren't any good at it, man, this would be dead in the water.
Yeah.
Because yep. So, it almost was. If you think about when she first came up and she first won, what was it, the Raw Women's Championship, that first 6 months for her was rough.
And I'm not going to let y'all forget that because you people, I was not talking bad about her, okay? But some of you people out there, okay, some of you people were like, oh, they gave her the belt too soon. Oh, she's struggling in matches with Asuka. How could you do that? Oh, no. Yeah, a whole lot of you people were saying that.
And let me piggyback on what Rob just said, because of some of the argument that people are making right now is that she doesn't wrestle often enough. She doesn't defend her championship enough. But that first run when she was champ, she was wrestling every week. She was defending every week. She was active as a champion, and she was 100% less effective.
I remember thinking at the time, like, what happened? All of a sudden. Wait, we were a triumvirate by then, right?
We were. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were.
We're coming up on three years.
We're coming up on 3 years since you joined us.
Yeah.
So there you go. I remember we probably talked about, like, what happened. Like,
yeah, we did. We had that discussion because
she just put the train back on the track and bam. Was that around the time Edge picked her up?
I was lucky. We know what actually happened. See, she got buried at WrestleMania 36, and she wasn't the same after that.
The Charlotte effect.
She got buried, and she got debuted, and she wasn't the same after that.
Let's don't linger on Rhea too long, because there's more women on this list. Let's go down and talk a little bit more about the list, Rob.
Okay, so number two is Julia. She's from Stardom. I have no commentary. I don't know anything much about her.
There's a lot of women in the top 10 I don't know a lot about.
So I can't dispute it, and I can't support it either. Just, you know, but fine. Okay. Yeah. Bianca's number three. You can make a case for Bianca being number one because she was champion longer during the grading period than Rhea Ripley was. But Rhea is obviously 2023. Things did kind of lose some steam there towards the end with Bianca for title reign, you could say.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But I think number three is right for her.
I think number three is.
Jamie Hayter is number four. She was AEW Women's Champion for a while. I personally think nothing against her, but I think that's a little high. Five, Tam Nakano, another Stardom lady. I can't help you there. Number six, this is one I like. Number six is Athena.
Yes.
She's been doing the best.
Very happy to see Athena in the top 10.
Yes. She's been Ring of Honor Women's Champion for a while. And even though, you know, I don't get Ring of Honor television because it's on Honor Club or whatever, but there are clips on YouTube of some of her matches. There are clips on YouTube of some of the, like, the character work she's been doing. This is the best stuff she's ever done. And it is just great to see her rewarded with this position, in my opinion.
She's really one of those ones who, and we don't often talk about this because it doesn't always happen, she's one of those ones who benefited by getting out of WWE. Like, she was, we don't often like to run around with the creatively stifled, rhetoric because we just don't do that here. But she's been allowed to blossom into something, at least from what little I've seen. I don't watch a lot of AEW. I watch what I catch online here and there, and what I've seen of her stuff. She is finally what I knew, because I was always an Ember Moon fan. Like, I had high hopes for Ember Moon as a character, as a wrestler, and to see her finally blossoming into the pro wrestler slash sports entertainer that I knew she could be, that I knew was in there, it is a credit to her and a credit to the AEW, you know, process. Some people are okay having a bit more creative freedom, and it looks like she's one of them.
And
yeah, I've enjoyed everything I've seen from Ember in AEW and, well, by extension, Ring of Honor. But yeah, it's good for her, man. I think it was just a little too crowded for the runway she needed to grow. And that's what happened there at WWE. But yeah, good to see her, like, you know, rising in the ranks.
And seven is Deonna Purrazzo. She was an Impact Knockout champion for a bit.
That's fair.
Most of the year, right?
Well, Mickey was for a while, then Mickey got hurt. Then I think she took over for Mickey.
And
Jordynne Grace, number 10, and Jordynne Grace was champion and lost to Mickey in like January or February. And then now, as far as after that, Asuka's number 11, and Jade Cargill is number 14. So that'll be, and of course, that is the last last that she's in there as a representative of AEW. Wherever she lands next year will be as a result of whatever she does in World Wrestling Entertainment. Roxanne is 15. Our 14-time women's champion is number 21. Rhonda,
I think that's because she spent a great deal of time off of TV, though.
Oh, well, because she was gone from September to the end of December, and then she was gone for 2 months this year, so she was gone a lot. I mean,
that's the same thing people are saying, because, you know, the artist formerly known as Sasha Banks, where did Mercedes rank?
She didn't make the list because she had to wrestle at least 10 matches.
Right, and she, you know, left WWE, didn't wrestle for several months. And then I'm trying to remember when she debuted.
She had about four or five matches, and then she injured her ankle, so she didn't.
Right.
She didn't wrestle enough matches to make the list. You had to wrestle 10 matches to make the list. So
okay.
Trinity number 23. That's
nice.
And I expect her next year probably to be higher.
She'll be in the top 20, if not closer to. I would say she probably, depending on what this year does, if she doesn't get injured, if she's not in the top 15, I'd be shocked.
Yeah, she would. Yeah. And Io Sky, 24. Tiffany Stratton, 25. My favorite person is 29.
Who's your favorite person, Rob?
The orange here.
The man.
But I will say, I will take the time to get a shot in. It brings me great joy that Ronda Rousey was ranked higher.
Oh, as much as he gives love, I think he genuinely hates that orange-haired lady.
Wait, her NXT championship get under the cutoff? Win that in October?
They mentioned it here, so yes.
Okay.
Yeah, she won that in September. She's had that coming up on 6 weeks now?
Okay. Something like that.
Yeah. Somebody, maybe closer to 2 months. I'm trying to remember when she won it. It may have been before I went on vacation, and that was back in September.
You are correct.
Yeah, no, other than that, after that, it gets, you know, we start really getting down to the weeds here. So there's no need. I mean, I'm not looking to see if there's anybody else that might be of anybody's interest here.
There's a couple local indie girls that I know and follow that made the list. This one girl, Dream Girl Ellie, who's done work with AEW. She's done. She was on NXT a couple times, and she's actually currently on that show, the Ohio Valley Wrestling, that Al Snow's doing on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
Dream Girl Ellie, she's on there. She was ranked 129th. She's a local girl. She's from the area here. Glad to see her in the top 50% or, you know, close to the top 50%. I thought that was pretty awesome.
And to Indy Hardwell was 46. Our buddy Jace's girl, Billy Starks, is 56.
Nice. Artist formerly known as Parati. What the hell was it?
You're talking about Steph.
Steph DeLander, yeah. She was number 69, yeah. Which if you follow her on Twitter, makes perfect sense because she is dirty, man.
Yeah.
That's absolutely hilarious.
I'm going to have to look at her Twitter. She probably had a field day with that.
She did. She's like, if I'm not either 69 or 420 on the men's list, I don't want to hear about it.
That's true.
It was actually really funny.
So, yeah, other than that, I mean, you know, there's some other WWE women kind of sprinkled throughout, but
yeah,
that's the gist of it as far as, you know, the list here. So, I mean, I didn't see anything. Again, I thought, to me, there's nothing really egregious. There's nothing, you know, like, well, why did they do that, you know?
No. There had to be an AEW woman in the top 10 somewhere. They put the one in there that worked. I'm glad in the top 10, just because I don't want to hear about the belly aching, because I already saw some of it, that the top 10 was not loaded with WWE women. That they were fair, they threw some Stardom girls in there, you know, a couple AEW, Ring of Honor by extension. I was glad to see the list kind of staggered. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, and then to be honest, I mean, in terms of just like kayfabe accomplishments, I mean, there weren't like, it, you know, you didn't have like five or six WWE girls to put in there anyway. Because one year they had like all the horsewomen in Asuka were like the top five. Okay, one year.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Even I'll admit that's a little egregious.
Okay, I mean, you know, I mean, yeah.
That's some top level E-drone shit right there.
Yeah. So, I mean, I forgot what year it was, but that was one of the years it was that. And so,
oh, I'm sure they had a field day that day on the Bird app.
Oh, yeah. But, but all in all, I think it's here. And, you know, and so we'll see what happens next year. You know, there's some people, again, looking to see how far Trinity moves up next year. We'll see if, you know, Mercedes Moné she'll probably be back on the list in some form or fashion. We'll see where she lands.
Yeah. All right. Let's kick around one more quick thing before we get into the main event of the evening, which is our watch along. Let's talk, and we may have kicked this around a little bit last week. I don't remember. Billy Corgan, NWA, announcing that they have officially signed what for them is a pretty big TV deal. They've signed an official deal with CW, which is big. You know, this is formerly, you know, a promotion that was exclusively on YouTube. And, you know, now they've signed a TV deal. I think that's huge for them. I like what Billy's doing with the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. He's giving it the old territories feel. And my understanding of that is that his world champion, whether it's EC3 or whether or not he finds a real talent and puts that belt on him, will probably have them traveling and defending it at different indie shows, which I think would actually be pretty cool. And if that's what he ends up doing, I like that idea. But I think, you know, that what's going to be interesting to see is how well NWA does on TV and whether or not they'll stick with the studio format that made the original Power shows so much fun. Like the nostalgia feel to it, I enjoyed it. You know, before Tyrus, when they still had Nick Aldis and LA Knight, and they said, I think Thunder Rosa was still over there, and they had some talent that I didn't mind watching. It was fun. Like, I really was on, you know, on board with NWA Power. I think the TV deal is going to be interesting to watch.
Me too, because I think I'm interested in how they're, what type of, you know, how they're going to deal with, handle the roster, because you need to get some younger people. You need to get some TV ready people. Look, I mean, yes, guys like me and you, DJ, yes, we love to see Ricky Morton out there,
you know.
Yes.
But you can't do that if you're going
to
be.
You cannot sell a national TV show. No offense to Ricky Morton.
Yeah.
And I pop for it, but.
You can't. Yeah, I'm sorry. And you can't. So in our group chat, I suggested, look, I mean, obviously, he doesn't have so much money to throw at people, but get somebody like Ali or Dolph Ziggler when they're available and plug them in. And,
yeah.
You know, two guys who can work, two guys who have been on TV, two good-looking guys you can put on national television, two guys who can talk, you know. One of them would be perfect to just plug in and be, you know, the guy to build things around to start with. And then we also mentioned, you know, Matt Cardona, because he'd be a good choice as your traveling champion, because he's already doing that kind of thing anyway. And that's somebody who is, you know, somebody who's made the most out of their post-WWE career. That guy is at the top of the list.
Oh, yeah. He's been on a run that rivals Cody's.
Yeah.
Indie run. Like, legit, Matt Cardona's had one hell of an indie run.
Yeah. So, I mean, get somebody like one of those guys to build around. And again, and look, they're NXT castoffs. Those are good, young, good-looking kids. Grab some of them. You probably don't have to pay them a whole lot if they still want to keep going in the business. You know, grab some of them, and of course, there will be more later down the line because just the way the NXT is working. You know, and just do that because look, I mean, the CW in the past has always been kind of the diverse young people's TV channel, so. That's kind of what you want to do, right?
And it's a bit mature. If you watch some of those CW shows, the themes can get a little mature. There's a little room to play there if you want to do that on your wrestling show.
Yeah. So
it's a good spot for them.
Yeah.
It is a good spot for them to land. I don't know what kind of market they reach. I don't know what the potential viewing audience is. But for, like I said, a show that was previously on YouTube – that's a hell of a big move.
It is, and like I said, so here's the hoping that again, just that they make the necessary roster moves to make it palatable to a TV audience.
Yeah.
And you know, good luck. I mean, because look, more again, like we've been saying, the more successful promotions there are, the better it is for all the wrestlers.
Absolutely. All right, well, before we move into the main event here, let's do a couple quick things here, a couple quick commercials. Again, you have been listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the Chairshot Radio Network. You can find us on thechairshot.com, along with all sorts of podcasts, doing everything from sports entertainment to sports entertainment, podcast galore. Go check it out. That is thechairshot.com, and I just tripped all over myself. Also, want to invite you to go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, you can peruse, you can browse, you can look at the t-shirts from all your favorite podcasts from the Chairshot Radio Network, including this very podcast, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. You can check out our t-shirt there. Pick one up. We will thank you. Your body will thank you if you pick one up in soft style. That is the prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. That was a horrible commercial. I hate doing those live because I know I'm going to stumble all over them. Now it is time for our main event. We have got a watch along. This is from something that Rob himself picked out. As we inch closer to Halloween, the next couple weeks, we're going to try and find some Halloween-themed matches. And Rob has one specifically picked out this week. I'm going to let Rob take back over and tell us what we're getting into here.
All right. So this is the Chamber of Horrors match. This is from WCW. And as you all who listen to the show know, we've dipped into this WCW stuff a good bit for these watch alongs because there's just some absolutely fabulously awful stuff there to watch. And I mean that in a good way. I mean it's highly entertaining stuff. It's fun, you know, but so we're going to the Chamber of Horrors match. So this happened in 1991 at Halloween Havoc, and it's, I believe, an 8-man. I don't know if it's tagged. I don't know if they were actually tagging in and out, but there were 4 guys on each team, and it was inside the same cage that they used at the first Halloween Havoc main event. And so
we're not going to tell Jason the finish. We're not going to tell Jason the finish of this match because he's never seen it, and we want his live reaction on air. But if it is on Peacock, it is the opening match to Halloween Havoc 91.
And that is season 3, episode 1.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Rob.
Oh, I'm just going to say some of the notable players in this match were Sting, the Steiner Brothers, a man named the Diamond Stud, who you would come to know as Razor Ramon, Cactus Jack, Big Van Vader, and a few other people that we'll just we'll leave to Jason to see when the match starts.
All right, Rob, I don't know what timestamp you have. I have 4 minutes 25 seconds.
Okay, let me fast forward it. And they had a good sized crowd for this match. There was over 8,000 people in the arena, according to Wikipedia, and that's notable because summer and fall of 1991 was the absolute shits for WCW.
Oh God, yeah.
All right, so all right, okay, I'm at okay. All right, here we go. I'm at 4 minutes and 21 seconds. Okay.
All right.
We all set, everybody?
I think so. Let me drag that. Yeah, I'm ready when you are. Want me to give you the countdown?
Yeah, all right. 5.
All right, again, for those of you keeping score at home, if you need to pause, pull it up on the Peacock. That is Halloween Havoc Season 3, Episode 1 from 1991. Timestamp is 4 minutes, 21 seconds into the show. We are starting in T-minus 3, 2, 1. And go. And we just lost Jason.
Uh-oh.
No, we didn't.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Look at that background, that haunted house.
Drawn in magic marker.
Yeah. What I thought was neat was in the intro to this thing, they were actually playing around with some early CG.
Interesting.
But that...
Where's that, like...
El Gigante. That cage. Actually, that cage is pretty awesome looking. Like a precursor to what Hell in the Cell would be, because there's room to fight outside.
Yeah.
Vader with the mask.
My goodness. Yes. Looks good. But yeah, this is just after this is, no, this is when I probably first started watching wrestling. I don't remember the show, obviously, but like this is the WCW I remember.
Yeah.
Obviously, before
this is
the
before WCW
Wars.
Really started to hit the skids creatively.
Like this, yeah. This was, yeah.
Recognize this cat?
Oh, geez.
Just,
oh my god.
And he's got the toothpick gimmick.
That's beautiful.
The diamond stud.
That's incredible.
Cactus Jack.
There
with
he
the
is.
Chainsaw.
Of course.
Good Lord. This animal.
Wow.
Odd seeing Foley walking up straight and not all start up.
Right.
That's before he really beat his body up. The Steiner Brothers. By our powers combined, we are Braun Breaker.
Jeez.
Look at the meat.
Yeah.
Just beef, man.
These guys are just rock people.
Oh man, Scotty Steiner. I mean, Rick Steiner was pretty thick, but Scotty was just.
Scotty was a different level, man.
By comparison, this guy was not in great shape.
No, look, Scott and Rick were all like chicken breast and egg whites.
Oh no!
Abdullah was all cheeseburgers.
Abdul was cheeseburgers and all you can eat buffet, Bubba. I respect it.
My goodness. Is that Dustin?
He just dropped the belt. Oh, I love that version of the U.S. Championship.
Oh, me too.
That belt was nice looking. Oh, Sting's disrespecting the hell out of that belt, man. Oh. Oh, 2023 wrestling fans would have it. And he dropped it again. Oh, no, he's whooping the hell out of Cactus Jack.
Oh, and also good. He didn't even let him get in the ring.
Not even in the ring yet. Awesome. It's already a melee.
And oh, and by the way, Sting announced last night at AEW Revolution next year that will be his final match.
Yeah. Good for him. I think we need to have a discussion about Sting and specifically his AEW run, because I don't put AEW over often, but I will absolutely put them over where Sting is concerned. They've done right by him.
Talking about using him perfectly.
All right, here we go. All of a sudden, everybody's in the ring. And this match is not the main event.
This is the opening match.
Right, this is the opening match.
And so this is just, this is just do whatever, eight men fighting.
Holy Moses.
Sting's wearing Vader out with that kendo stick.
And there are caskets in the ring, inside the cage.
Oh, no, we've got a guy in a hood.
Here we go.
There's already shenanigans going on. Oh, God. This camera work is terrible.
God bless the ref cam.
Well, who is that guy in the mask?
I have no idea, but he's getting worked over by Scotty Steiner.
Is he some deranged fan?
This is insanity. This is so hard to keep up with.
What? Just a Rick doll body.
Minus Elegante and maybe. Nah, just minus Elegante. This has the potential to be a really violent match.
It's really nice to see the young Breaker Brothers.
Right.
All this does is make me feel old, guys.
It should, because we're old.
Yeah.
Yeah. Refer eye camera. That's good. That's the good shit, pal.
I always like Sting and Vader going at it, man. Those guys always tore the house down.
They beat the absolute dog shit out of each other, man.
Oh, they did. Every time.
Vader went into every match being like, all right, I'm going to try to kill you. But Sting was one of the few guys who was like, all right, bet.
That ref cam is terrible.
Oh, the referee? Oh.
Yeah.
Incredible. Hey, right?
What's this? Oh, the drama.
The chair of torture.
What's this? What's this?
God.
It's an electric chair.
Yes.
It's an electric chair.
We're about to get some AEW bomb quality stuff, aren't we?
You'll see.
You sons of bitches. This is what I'm spending my night doing.
This is terrible.
Who's it gonna be? Who's it gonna be?
Oh my God.
Oh, Rick's going in the chair. He's where I'm at. Oof. Hey, but I will say, production value, pretty high.
The production value is pretty good. The match is not good, but.
No, but like Ted Turner wasn't messing around, man.
No, Ted was very serious about his wrestling promotion. Whether it was good or not wasn't the point.
What's this about?
We've got zombie EMTs coming down with the stretcher.
Oh, because we're gonna take away the person who gets fucking electrocuted. Oh my god, this is incredible! Just why tell me it's not
the butcher trying to climb this cage. What is Abdullah's big ass doing?
I swear to God, if you guys pranked me into watching the Stinger get electrocuted, I'm flying to both your houses. Here, Jason, watch your childhood hero blow up. And God bless Rick. What a monster.
Oh, yeah.
And so they got, like, chains hanging from the walls?
Yeah. For no real reason, I don't think they use them. We've got a bleeder. We've got a bleeder.
I'm going to say this right. Nicely.
Cactus Jack is bleeding everywhere, man.
Oh, my God. Wow. That's dark, too.
Yeah.
Did you hit an artery, bro?
You got it good.
Yeah, he did. Found a juicer. Hitting Vader in the back, notoriously a good idea.
Yeah, right.
Sting and Cactus are climbing the wall.
Yep.
This was the old Thunderdome cage, wasn't it, Rob?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. They repurposed the Thunderdome.
Oh, he's not going to take a bump off the
wall. And yes, Jason, WCW invented the Thunderdome.
I don't know what I was going to say. Years and years later, they'd stick some LEDs around it.
Oh, no, they've handcuffed, I don't know.
Is the masked guy.
Is that Sami Zayn? I don't know.
I think so.
It's El Generico in 1991. I don't get
people. So who is the masked guy?
I don't even think they ever answer that. I think he's just some random dude that was in one of the coffins.
Yeah.
Probably a power plant trainee or something.
Wow.
And like, Abdullah is blown up, man. That guy.
Oh, he is. Well, he's out there sucking wind.
Yeah. Oh, and he's getting choked. Poor guy.
I think Abdullah's bleeding too now. I can't tell.
When does he not bleed?
Yeah, he's like, he was Moxley before Moxley was Moxley.
Nope. Okay. Gimp guy's outside the ring.
This referee camera is terrible. GoPro DJ, 1991.
It's the referee camera. It says it right there in the corner. Thank you. Don't let their wordplay go to nothing, you know? Oh no! Oh no! Get it, Ghost Stinger! Get out! Oh, thank God.
Jason's very serious. He's terrified that Sting's going to get electrocuted here.
Yeah, literally anybody in this ring but Stinger. Come on, man. He's my childhood hero. He's my favorite.
And look at the lever.
Oh, that's amazing. The lever is somehow older than every other part of the contraption.
Also, if you noticed, the lever R is already on.
Yes.
Because yep. When they throw this, if they throw the switch, they got to throw it to the off the switch.
God. Well, because you break the circuit, and then that's how the electricity
gets. Oh, okay. Pro wrestling logic, yeah. I forgot.
Exactly. That's how electricity works in kayfabe.
We got alternating current, direct current, reverse current.
Listen, we've got paint demons and, you know, tractors and shit like that. So I'm not gonna hold them on off switch.
Oh my God. I feel like this has already gone 10 minutes longer than any one of these guys ever wanted it to.
You know what? In a few years later, it would be the referee camera brought to you by Snickers.
I think Sting's busted. Everybody's busted open. Sting's bleeding. Ooh, now. Sting, bleeding.
Yeah. He's got the red in that bleach blonde.
I don't know. I think in the next 2 to 4 years, they should just put the referee camera on Ricochet and have him wrestle with it.
So that's not even, they didn't even have GoPro back then. So that's just was some like camcorder.
That's
some like camera department jury rig stuff. That's actually pretty awesome.
I respect the ingenuity, if nothing else.
Yeah, right? And there you are, shit talking the referee camera.
Man, what a unit Scott Hall was.
Oh, man.
Rick was. Jesus. Oh, I'm going to say this nicely about in kayfabe, the character Rick Steiner. That man is walking around the ring and there is nothing going on between those ears.
Nope. Nope.
Yeah.
He's busted open too.
Oh, they all are, dude. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, I think the only one who didn't cut himself open was Elegante.
Cactus is like dropping a liter.
And of all people, Vader. Cactus, I don't think Vader's climbing busted the open. Cage.
Why are you climbing the cage? Oh, he's going to the lever. Okay. What's going on? Oh! Woof! Cactus is going to throw the switch. Nope. Get him, Sting!
Man, he is bleeding.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude, he's like
leaking like a
Mick
is sieve, man. Elegante's blown up. This dude's like, why am I even out here?
My goodness. Vader's just stalking around looking for someone to eat.
Poor Jason's probably sitting there thinking, God, I wish these guys would give me a real match to watch once in a while.
Maybe a couple fisherman suplexes. I don't know.
Well, we got Abdul the Butcher out here trying to do a version of the Mandible Claw.
Yeah, with a kendo stick. Rick Breaker getting the shit kicked out of him. Papa Breaker. Oh, no!
Here comes Rick. Save him, Scotty! Save him, Scotty!
Oh, thank God. Jesus. Monsters.
Wow. This is absolutely insane.
Elegante is huge.
Yeah.
Oh, he was a big dude. He you know, rest in peace. He was never really any good, but he was a big dude. He was impressive as hell to look at.
Not Rick! No!
Oh, jeez. Up!
Oh, no! Yes!
Help him out, Abdul. Help him out.
Good job.
All right.
Good job, Breaker.
Steiner.
This is awesome. And now we send Abdullah to hell. What a great family entertainment program this is. Hey! No, this is better than the AEW bomb.
Oh, absolutely.
This is way better. Oh, wow. He's selling the hell out of it. Best sell job of Abdullah the Butcher's career was not to any living person. It was to a electric chair. Best sell job of his career. That was incredible.
The mat was on fire, now smoking.
Yep, everything. That was incredible. I want this match type back immediately.
You want what?
I want this match type back immediately.
You want them to bring it back?
Yeah, they need to bring this back immediately. I want to, you know.
Moxley and Kingston can redeem themselves.
No, I want to see Corbin get zapped or something, you know? Let's have some fun.
The damn helmet's not even on his head.
Well, you it already went off, you see.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's all done now.
Oh, I mean, God.
Wow, guys. That was incredible. Thank you so much for that. That was genuinely a hoot.
And Abdullah is playing dead. He looks
like the whole time.
In the chair.
Mick looks like, or excuse me, Cactus looks like he's seen a ghost. My man.
I think the best part is coming up.
Yeah, I was going to say, the dudes are going to come bury this dude, right?
I think he miraculously comes back to life or something, doesn't he?
I hope so, because otherwise these zombie priests are going to take him away. Uh-oh. Oh, no, he's gone. He's gone.
He's shaking his head like, wake up, Abby, wake up.
Mick, wake up. Wake him up, Mick. No, it's not going to happen. He's dead. Oh! Oh, my God, he's alive!
He came back to life. He's all freaked out now.
And he's a zombie Abdullah the Butcher. And he's... Oh! Oh, no!
He's beating up the ghouls.
You can't take me to hell, demons.
Great. Oh, I'm so glad we didn't turn it off yet.
Oh, my God. And he's choking one of these dudes out.
And he threw him on his
chest.
He literally looks like he just died. Oh, wow. Holy young Shivani.
That was...
That was beautiful, gentlemen.
I got nothing.
That was beautiful.
That was awesome.
That was incredible. I want WWE to bring that back. You know what? You want ratings? That's how you end the Tribal Chief's reign.
Electrocuting him in the Chamber of Horrors match.
Electric at the Sphere. Oh, the Sphere in Las Vegas.
That's a hell of a conclusion, Jason.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's
the only thing that could take him down. The electric chair.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, I think we can call it a go home there. I think we ended on a high note.
We're certainly not topping that.
No, we're definitely not. We're going to call it a go home right there.
Yeah,
you have been listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Thank you so much. We've made it this far. I hope you had fun. I know we did. This is the type of stuff we like to do here. Cut up, have fun, have a good time. Not take this stuff so seriously like we have been lately. Going to go back around the room here and thank my co-hosts, starting with Jason. Sir, welcome back from your little vacation. I hope you enjoyed the watch-along, buddy.
That was a blast, and hopefully we can get back to, you know, being marks and taking this shit way too seriously next week.
Yep, that is the plan moving forward. I want to have more fun on this show, guys, because that little meltdown I had last week was not fun. From the Rob the Genius Podcast, Rob, thank you for suggesting this. I had long forgotten, and then when I was pulling it up, I'm like, wait a minute, I remember the finish. Jason is going to pop for this.
Yes. My pleasure, and once again, it's always fun to crap on women's wrestling like I always do.
Yes. Remember, as you watch this watch along with us, remember what the internet tells you? It used to be better. Right. Anyway, I'm DJ. Want to thank you for listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring. And we're out of here till next week.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.